Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 167. This is part two of a two-part podcast where I talk about the Colonial 200 Relay and the Richmond Marathon. The Richmond Marathon was held November 10th of 2012, just a few days ago, and had a great time. Finished again. It was my 22nd marathon, and once again, it was just as fun as any of the others that I've done. Each race always has a little bit different characteristics to it, and this one was certainly no exception. This was my fourth time running Richmond, and the neat thing about this race was that the finish line had been moved. The race actually finished down right on the James River and funneled the runners onto an island called Brown's Island, which is that island's kind of evolved since I've lived in the Richmond area. It used to be nothing was on it, just kind of barren, and it's evolved over the years into a major area where things take place in the city, concerts, the Richmond Folk Festival, which used to be the National Folk Festival that was in Richmond for 3 years, and then Richmond picked it up and started doing the Richmond Folk Festival. It's just a big concert area, and it's a great place to stage all the finish line stuff at the Richmond Marathon. There was one little hang-up with that, which I'll talk about later in the podcast, because this is not going to be a negative review of the Richmond Marathon. In fact, it's going to be positive. There's just a couple little hang-ups that took place that hopefully will be fixed for next year. There was a new sponsor this year, Anthem. SunTrust had been doing the Richmond Marathon for the last number of years before that, which was the Richmond newspapers sponsored it, and then SunTrust took it over, and then now Anthem. And you could see some differences here and there. I think mainly was probably the logistics at the finish, which, you know, I'll talk about in a little bit. But I had a great time. I went in essentially unprepared, like I've probably done before. The reason I signed up for Richmond is because I went ahead and did the work over the summer to train for the Baltimore Marathon. And the Baltimore Marathon, again, if you've been a regular listener to the show, I signed up for that to run with a good friend of mine who was running his first marathon. He lives up in the Annapolis area. We finished that one in 5 hours and 12 seconds. 5 hours being my friend Lummox's goal was to finish in 5 hours or less. And so we essentially met that goal, missed it by 12 seconds. Not really a big deal. But as I've said along, when I was training for the fall marathon season, I was really just focusing on Baltimore. And being that Lummox had kind of told me what he hoped for his finishing time to be, I really just did the minimal training necessary throughout the summer to get to the finish line in 5 hours. My PR being 4:17, that's kind of a big difference, and I just don't think I'll really repeat 4:17. So knowing that we were going to be running in 5 hours was a huge relief for me in my training. I kind of coined the term. I was a minimalist, meaning I was doing the minimal training necessary to get to the finish line, and the god-awful humidity that we had in Central Virginia this summer obviously caused me to skip some of those runs in the evening where it just made no sense to get out there. In fact, it might have even been detrimental. There were some times I was running where I just felt like I wasn't really making any progress or doing myself any benefit. That was back in October. That was October 13th. You can listen to that podcast. It's, I think, episode 164 or something like that, Sounds from Baltimore, where I had some audio clips from the race that day. That was a great day. The weather in Richmond was very similar to the weather in Baltimore. It was pretty cold at the start, right around 32 degrees, but it quickly rose to around 70 at the end, which wasn't bad. The heat never played a factor. It was just my conditioning, and my finish time was 4:38:31, and I'm not making any excuses for that finishing time because I'm pretty pleased with it, considering the circumstances that I ran under. I'll take that any day of the week. I mean, out of the four Richmond marathons that I've run, that's the second best finishing time that I've had for that course, which is somewhat hilly. It's not It's not hills all along the course. In fact, it's mostly a flat course, but there are some hills, namely the one coming off the James River, which I decided just to walk that up. And I remember I actually was walking up that hill faster than there was a lady that was running on the right side of the road, and I actually walked past her. She was just kind of taking real short steps to get up the hill. But what I did is I went into the race with a 4:30 pace band in my little waist pouch that I was wearing, and that was more just to kind of gauge where I was going to be around the 4.5 hour mark. It wasn't because I was trying to make 4:30 and disappointed that I didn't. That's not the case at all. It was just to kind of get a frame of reference. A good friend Tom was a 4:15 pacer, so what I did is I just kind of hung out with him for a little bit at the beginning, and then I started with the crossed the line right behind the 4:30 pacers, again, just for a frame of reference. And I passed them and intentionally passed them and got up well ahead of them just to give myself a cushion. I felt just to see, you know, what would happen and at what point in time did I then, you know, lose it and they passed me. The first half of the marathon was just a great experience. I ran the split in 2:10. Which is a pretty good half marathon time for me, regardless, even if that was just the finish line, that would have been a pretty good half marathon time. And the reason I felt good. I got up that morning, felt great, just felt like it was going to be a good day. It was a good day. I mean, I wasn't disappointed. And I just decided to do what I did down at the Graveyard 100K, was if I felt good, I decided just to run good. And instead of trying to bank all this energy, which I found is at least for my at my ability level, is just not something that I can do. So I ran how I felt, and you know, I stayed ahead of the 4:30 pacers, you know, the people that I was quote racing, and I felt pretty good about that. Saw my family a few times, and to my surprise, my wife brought our dog down there, which was pretty cool, and really just hooked up with some people here and there that that I recognized from other races. I saw several maniacs, and I'll talk about some of them later in this episode, some of the people that I met and that helped me along the way. The race was a huge turnout this year. There was, due to the cancellation of the New York City Marathon, there was a lot of speculation that the increase in the marathon, in marathon registrations, was due to that. And I'm sure it was, just like I'm sure that there were additional people that signed up for the Outer Banks Marathon and then the Freedom Marathon, which were both held on November 11th, the Outer Banks being down in North Carolina, and then the Freedom Marathon being held in Norfolk. In fact, I knew I ran with somebody, Nicole, during part of the race that was going down and running the Freedom Marathon the next day. And there was also another guy that was running the race, Rob Manola, who lives in the Ashland area, who was doing, I think, a double on the weekend as well. Again, you know, good start. It started at 8 o'clock on Saturday. The half marathon started at 7:30, and that one had close to I think 9,000 participants. Just a huge turnout, and there was also an 8K that had several thousand, and the full marathon I think had around 7,000. So all told, I think it was just under 20,000 for all three events, which is a boost from last year. I don't know what the numbers are. I didn't look them up or anything, but I just know from reading in the paper, I mean, if that's accurate, that it was a excellent turnout for all three events, and that's nothing but good for the Richmond area. It really is. The Richmond Marathon bills itself as America's friendliest marathon, and I think they kind of, for the most part, lived up to that. They ran into some problems with finishing medals at the end. In fact, I finished with somebody who didn't get a medal at the end because she had registered too late, although she had registered 2 weeks prior to the race. Apparently that was after the cutoff where they had ordered and stamped enough medals. But everybody that didn't get one apparently was promised that they would be mailed one. And I think I'd be pretty disappointed if I didn't get a medal, I guess, at the finish. But if I knew that going into it, of course I'd be okay with that, knowing I'd get one later on. Although, you know, that immediate gratification is always something that that you like as a distance runner. But there were some other people I saw at the finish that didn't get them, and they were trying to figure out if their bib number was too high or there was a mark on their bib or something. I think it was just a matter of numbers. As I mentioned before, I'm the race director for the Ashland Railroad Run, which is a 10K, and we what you try to do is you try to order a we don't have medals, we just, you know, obviously have the shirts, and at some point in time you have to order the supplies. You can't do it the day of the race, clearly, and you have to give a good estimate even to order your shirts, or in the marathon's case, order the medals, and you have to make a cutoff based on where you project your registrations are going to be, because you don't want to take too much of a hit and have a lot of surplus supplies where, you know, you've overspent by, in our case for t-shirts, it'd be probably hundreds of dollars, but in the case of a marathon, you don't want to overspend by thousands, certainly. So I can understand that, and hopefully all those people that did not get one, did not get a finished medal, will get one mailed to them in short order, and they won't have to badger the race director or anything like that. I just wanted to mention quickly about one more thing about the Colonial 200 Relay, and if you listen to the previous part one of this two-part show, it might have sounded kind of sappy at the end, and when I was talking about how much I enjoyed running with the my Team Incognito group, and if that was kind of a new show, or if you're a new listener and the don't really know about Team Incognito, Team Incognito is a group that I was part involved with forming back in 2006, when a group of us formed a grassroots group to train for our first marathon, which was the Richmond Marathon. Some people ran the Marine Corps, but most of us ran the Richmond Marathon. And it's just that group is, we've stayed kind of tight. It's mostly a message board group, if you will, as opposed to always getting together. We try to get together socially from time to time, and some people regularly run together. But being that I live in a little bit of a different area and don't participate in all the training teams that some of the other people on the team do, I'm kind of more of a virtual member. But I saw a quote the other day, or heard it on TV or something like that, that really made me appreciate how much fun I've had with this relay team. And the quote is, quote, "Someday your life will flash before your eyes, make it worth watching." And, you know, doing stuff like the relay with another group of people where you share in the excitement of covering these huge distances. In our case, the Colonial 200 was 206. 0.8 miles. That's something that I hope flashes across my eyes, I guess, along with distance running and, you know, my family and different things I've achieved in my life. If my life ever flashes before my eyes, certainly I hope that my good times and that those good people I've met doing some of these grueling, difficult events will definitely flash before my eyes, because that's how important it is to me. So I just wanted to mention that a little bit about the Colonial 200 before I get back into the Richmond Marathon. I want to share one other funny thing. I went to the mall. We got a mall here, and it's just south of Hanover called Virginia Center Commons, and I had to go down and replace some earrings that my daughter likes to wear, because one of them fell down the sink and I couldn't get it out, and she really wanted these earrings. Anyway, so I went down to this little shop down at the mall. So I had to walk through the mall to get to it to replace these, you know, they're like little juvenile, you know, costume jewelry type of earrings, but it was a certain type that she wanted, and she liked them so much that I thought I would surprise her by replacing them before she got home from school. And I was in, I got hit up to, solicited three times to buy stuff just in my 15 minutes in the mall. The first was I walked through the food court, and, you know, I'm kind of walking with a purpose because I know exactly where I'm going, and these guys that are running the steak and cheese counter are trying to sell me a steak and cheese. And, you know, I didn't walk up to any, I wasn't browsing the food court. I was literally just walking right past. And this guy's like, "Hey man, you want a steak and cheese?" I think, "No man, I don't want a steak and cheese. I'm walking past your booth." You know, I just, it kind of bothered me a little bit. Little things bother me sometimes. And then I'm walking down, and they have all these kiosks down in the hall, in the walking area of the mall. And some of these kiosks are, you know, jewelry kiosks, or what, the skins you put on your phone or your iPod Touch or whatever. And this guy had, it was like some little tobacco kiosk or something. And he's like, "Man, do you smoke? You know, I got a deal for you. Do you smoke?" I'm like, "No, I don't smoke. You know, I guess they don't make any money if they don't hit you up." And then I go into the little jewelry store. It's called Claire's. And I make my purchase, and then they ask me if I want to make a donation to some charity. I'm thinking, no, I just want to buy some freaking earrings and get back to my car and go. So in a matter of 15 minutes, I got hit up three times to buy stuff or give money to something that I just wasn't interested in. And I just thought, you know, the next time I go through there, I will bypass those things. I don't know why I brought that up in the podcast, but I thought it was kind of funny. All right, so let's talk about Richmond. Again, great marathon. Really, really enjoyed it. A lot of my friends run it. Unfortunately, I got separated a little bit from them during the course of the race. But sometimes I do like to be out there by myself and just kind of slug through and get through those difficult times on my own. Again, my time was 4:38:31. That was the second best Richmond time I've run last year. Or no, it was my 10th marathon. I ran Richmond for the second time, and I ran a 4:37. The reason I know that is because I looked up my times. And I really slacked between the transition time from the Baltimore Marathon to the Richmond Marathon. There's 4 weeks in between, and I did 1 12-miler with Bob here locally. I think I turned around and did an 6 or 8 miler the week before the marathon, and really didn't do that much over the course of the week. I was busy with some work things, found plenty of other excuses on why not to get out there. And didn't really do a whole lot. I just kind of figured that I would get through Richmond one way or the other because I'd registered for it, and I wanted to check out the new finish line. So, again, I'm not making an excuse or anything because I'll take that finishing time. It's just that it was hard to get to that finishing time. I did have a difficult time on the second half, which I ran, I guess, 18 minutes slower than the first half. Again, 32 degrees at the start. It was cold. There was wind blowing. Lots of people down there. I didn't think the Port-a-John lines were too long. The starting line is well managed. It's on Broad Street, the main drag through the city of Richmond and downtown. Just a great place to start the race. Of course, it warmed up to around 70. It was really no big deal. And I'm an iPod runner. I like to run with my iPod when I'm by myself. If I'm running along somebody else, I'll obviously take it out and show courtesy to talk to somebody. However, I never did put it in for the first half of the race. I carried it. I found it was a little bit more interesting to listen to the conversations that people were having and amongst themselves. And, you know, you can't close your ears off, so you can't help but to eavesdrop. So, of course, I listened in. And there was a group of ladies behind me. And this is kind of funny, and usually I leave this kind of content out of the podcast to keep it kind of clean. But there was a group of ladies behind me who were talking about how they knew how one of their friends was married to somebody who was a 50-stater. And if you don't know what a 50-stater is, most people who listen to the show probably do if you're a marathoner. But if you're not, a 50-stater is somebody who has already done a marathon in all 50 states or is working towards that. And I think the minimum to get into that club is you have to have done 10 states, if I'm not mistaken. I got a friend, Snuggy Bear, that is on his way to doing that. I'm not sure how many states he's got now. But apparently the person they were talking about has done it repeated times. And the funny thing about it was one of the ladies was saying, well, gosh, how do they ever have sex? Anyway, I thought that was funny. Okay. Again, no iPod for the first half. I didn't even look at the 4:30 pace band that I had in my pouch until I think 16 or 17, something like that, when I realized that I was only a minute ahead of the 4:30 pace. So that was about where I started slipping off, and of course was taking walk breaks in there, some more than I really wanted to. And I hooked up with, ran with Amy Clark for a little bit. Amy is a local runner here who was one of the Sports Backers marathon training team coaches. And she ran with me for a little bit, and saw another friend of my wife's out there and ran with her for a little bit. And there was one guy who I don't think his name was really Spike, but he had spiked hair, and I heard somebody call him Spike. And he was doing some kind of run-walk method similar to what I was starting to do it when I was modifying it. And I just kept passing him back and forth, and it seemed like finally I just said, hey, man, I've been running past you all day long. Why don't we run together for a little bit? And he did not really say anything, and so I didn't either. So then I just, at one of the water stops, I just kind of separated from that, which, you know, I can get the message pretty easily if someone's not interested in talking. And I'm definitely not one that goes out there and hits people up for a conversation if they're not interested in doing that, just like I know how I am. So I knew that I knew I wasn't going to have the fitness to really do much. And the reason is because I hadn't done a whole lot of work leading up to it past the 16-mile mark. I know that I think I had skipped out on, I think, the 17-miler. I know I did an 18-miler and a 20-miler getting ready for Baltimore, but what I should have done was one or two of those in between the two races and not really worry too much about the tapering, which I've always didn't really think too much of that anyway, just because I'm not, you know, really that fast. But I knew that I didn't have a whole lot of fitness past the 13 or the half marathon mark. So I wasn't really expecting too much out of myself other than, you know, I wanted to get inside 5 hours, certainly, and certainly did that. But I wasn't really expecting too much out of it. I just promised myself to have a good time. And, you know, I was wearing my Marathon Maniac shirt, so I knew that I would end up talking to some people out on the course, which I did. That is always a good tool to if you're by yourself out there, you're always going to end up seeing somebody. And I did. I ran into Larry Macon, who has done I ran into him pretty early on in a race. He has done over 630 marathons. I asked him when his next race was. He was doing Richmond and then going on to do one the next day. I can't remember what state he was going to. But I first met him at the Lower Potomac River Marathon back in 2009, I think it was. And just a real nice guy. He's done, guys, that's a lot of marathons. I was looking at his profile on the Marathon Maniacs page once because he told me how many he had done. And I just kind of wanted to get an idea of what his frequency was. And he's doing them every weekend. And it's just cool. It's a hobby of his. I think it's pretty neat. And he, you know, he knows, I'm sure he runs into people every weekend at different races. And even he didn't know who I was, I'm sure. I told him my Maniac number. But we had a nice little chat for a few minutes. And, of course, I ran into some other people. There was one guy. This is Biking Viking. He's done 85-plus marathons. He was taking pictures of just about everything. And I didn't know who he was at first, and I heard about him later. But it was kind of weird because he came up to me just and started talking to me, and then he just put his camera kind of right in my face and was taking my picture. And I didn't really understand why, because I mean, I'm just an ordinary middle-of-the-pack nobody. I've said that before many times on the podcast. And then he said he was a Maniac. I said, well, hey, well, maybe, you know, I'll make the newsletter. So I'll have to look out for the newsletter to see if my ugly mug got on there in the next couple months whenever the newsletter comes out. The course was the same. There was, for the most part, there were a couple changes. The Huguenot Bridge, which is the first crossing of the James River during the race, there's two crossings of the river. It was under construction, and after you go south on the bridge and to the south side of the river, the race normally kind of cloverleafs down to the lower road that goes alongside the James River called Riverside Drive. And due to construction, the course had to be modified, and therefore it added another uphill, which meant obviously you'd go back downhill at some point towards the river. And I thought that would really bother me. That was Huguenot Road. But it didn't. I kind of liked it. I liked how the course extended up into a different neighborhood off Cherokee Road. And I wasn't really sure what to expect there, but I kind of liked it. And what that did is that cut off a whole flat section in the north side of Richmond, which was usually, at least the times I've run Richmond before, was usually an agonizing section for me. So I wasn't really that disappointed that part was cut off. And then the finish line. The finish line was pretty steep, and the blisters on the bottom of my feet, I'm pretty sure now, are as a result of going down the steep descent into the finish line, which you couldn't help but run fast, and I could really feel my feet just sliding forward in my shoes. And, you know, that feeling where you feel like your feet are kind of ripping a little bit. And I'm able to walk fine today. You know, thank goodness today's Veterans Day or the Observed Veterans Day. And I'm just glad that I did not have to work today. So I could let my feet recover. But I could really feel that my feet sliding in my shoes. And it was very similar to the feeling back when I ran the North Face 50-miler in 2011 or 2010. I can't remember when it was. I think it was 2010. When my feet just disintegrated in my shoes because of all that shifting around. There was only one complimentary beer at the end, which I was a little disappointed in. I was hoping for at least two to sit there while I was meeting up with my family. That was I thought that was just downright lame. You know, what if you're just gonna give one complimentary beer, you might as well just, you know, make them all where you have to purchase them. I didn't really like that too much. The Browns Island finish line was really cool. No doubt about that. There was lots of stuff out there. It was just a gorgeous day. I had a hard time meeting up with my family, so I just kind of decided just to sit down and wait. And they had to make their way over. Now the we were able to check bags at the beginning, and we were told the bags would be at the finish line. And the reason I asked that is because I knew there weren't a whole lot of places to park a bunch of UPS trucks. Well, it turns out they didn't have the trucks at the finish line. They were about three blocks from the finish line, and you had to go off Browns Island to get your bag and then come back if that's what you wanted to. And I just, excuse the pun, but I decided just to bag it and wait till we were leaving. And then when I got up to the trucks to get my bag, sure enough, I had to wait in line for another 25 minutes because there was just, I guess they, I don't know if they didn't have as many trucks as they did last year. I remember just walking up to the truck last year at the finish line, nobody there, getting my bag, and going from there. This was a little disappointing because I had to wait for so long, and then we just left from there to go get something to eat. A couple other people I ran into, and some thanks out there. I wanted to especially thank a lady named Nicole, who was very nice, from the Alexandria area, and ran into her during the course of the race, and she's a fellow maniac, and we were talking a bit, and then we got separated, and then there was one point where she caught up to me. I think her leg was hurting or something, and then really just mentally just pulled me through a pretty difficult part. And we ended up finishing the race at the same time, and then commenting about the steep descent. And she was just really nice, very talkative, and definitely pulled me through some of those miles where I just didn't have the fitness, and somehow was able to, I don't know, somehow was able to get through there. And of course, at the very beginning, ran into another maniac named Abe out of Florida. He'd done over 120 marathons. Nicole says she's done over 30. And anyway, just a great day talking to people out there on the course. And again, very pleased with my finishing time. And of course, we had our marathon party that night where everybody who we know here locally that is a distance runner, anybody that did the half or the full, we invited them over and just ate and talked about things. And several people from Team Incognito were able to make it. And that was always really cool. So that's the Richmond Marathon. I've got several emails I'm going to hit on to kind of catch up here. Several people have sent me emails that I haven't gotten to in a while, so I just want to hit on those because it's always nice to hear from listeners of the show. Like I've said before, I've met people from all over the world doing this podcast, and the cool thing about that is you get to trade ideas and hear about events around the world and different people's experiences, and sometimes you can pick up on different things from what other people experience and different ideas that they have about distance running. So that's one of the coolest things is about the email bag section of the show. And if you want to hit me up on an email, it's ashlanddave@gmail.com, and that's ashlanddave@gmail.com. And I don't capture your email address. I don't try to market you for anything. The podcast is free. It always will be. One of these days I might set up a donate button just to kind of offset the cost here and there, but it's really nominal. And love to hear from you if you feel like writing in, and if you did something really neat and you want to share that with other listeners out there, I will definitely get to that email. Sometimes I have to summarize them a little. If they're a lengthy report, sometimes I have to summarize them. But anyway, I had several friends that did the Freedom Marathon. I know Nicole, who I ran with at Richmond, was going down to do that, so certainly hope she did well on that. And I didn't see any of the results because I was checking it for some other people that I knew. I couldn't find the results up, otherwise I would share that. But anyway, doing back-to-back marathons is, well, of course, that's what the maniacs do. But it's pretty remarkable. I know how I felt on Sunday, and there was just no way that I could have gotten out there. But Dr. Smitty, he did it, and he's a regular listener to the show, and he found that in his training for that, he's also doing the Memphis Marathon in December, which I can't really remember what date that is. I think it's December 1st. But he found that he kind of likes the running and the training more than he does the racing, not so much. He's moving to a new house the same day that he's, I guess, flying to Memphis for the Memphis Marathon, which is December 1st. So, Greg, wish you all the best there, and hopefully we'll cross paths again soon. I don't know if you want to come up for the railroad run. It's going to be sometime in April. I know the date. It's just I don't have it off the top of my head. Anyway, hope you did well down there. I think you said that you were the first leg of the relay, and then we're doing the marathon solo. And it's kind of neat that they let people do that. I thought that was kind of interesting. Also heard from Sandy, and she did the Door County Fall 50, I think a week or two after she did her first 100-miler, which is just remarkable as far as I'm concerned. And she's got a great race report on her experience at the Door County Fall 50, which is billed as the most scenic distance run in the Midwest. And I think she said that one's in... can't remember where she said that one's at. I'm going to link to her race report, which is on her blog at the ultrafreak.blogspot.com, but you can just go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and look up episode 167 and you'll see the link to that, or just I guess if you search for her blog. Anyway, she did a that race was October 20th, and she had a 3-hour PR for the 50-mile distance with an incredible 9:48.55. And I don't know what to say. I mean, that's just incredible to do that so soon after completing a 100-miler. Just remarkable, Sandy. Well done, and thanks for. Hopefully you've recovered now. I think you mentioned in your email that you don't have anything to train for right now, but I'm sure it's just a matter of time before you find something else. So, well done on that, and thanks again for listening to the show and staying in touch. I also heard from Christina, who's a longtime listener of the show, and. She got attacked by zombies during a training run down at her near her home in Arizona, and it's documented on film, and it's pretty funny. I'm going to link to that video at ashlanddave.podbean.com. It's pretty cool. It's actually an interesting sociological experiment. These people dressed up as zombies and went out and hit this running trail and just to kind of creep some people out. And turns out that at a minute 21 into the video, Christina apparently has a legitimate scream of fear. So I thought that was pretty good. Check that out on my website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. You get a kick out of that if that kind of stuff makes you laugh. Also heard from Kreider. He did the Army 10-miler with a Crash. He's on Team Incognito. We call him Crash because he fell on the treadmill one time. And he kind of picked up that nickname ever since then. And he had a personal best at the Army 10-miler for that distance at an incredible 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 40 seconds. So well done, Crash. Sounds like you had a great weekend up there. And kind of envy that. I'd like to do that. I heard that one fills up really fast. And one of these days I'd like to go up there and do that. I haven't done a 10-mile race since I did the Annapolis 10-miler several years ago. It's pretty good distance. Also heard from David Williams from Down Under, and he was mainly writing in to send said his heart goes out to those who suffered devastation with Hurricane Sandy that came in the Northeast. And David, that was really nice that you you sent that in. I don't know if we have any listeners of the show that suffered any devastation up there. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that, except for Ari that lives in New York City. But you know, that's just a terrible thing. And you know, as I was watching the news and the mayor up there was talking about holding the New York City Marathon anyway, and I was, you know, I'm a little naive on the start of where that race starts, but when I heard it was starting on Staten Island, I'd seen the coverage of Staten Island and that there was only one bridge there. I was a little baffled on why the race would go on and start there, where I think it was too late to change the start. And, you know, that place was just a disaster area. And I think it was a good call eventually to cancel the race altogether. It's not unheard of. These things have happened before. It's just, you know, there can always be another marathon. But, you know, recovery from a disaster has to be a priority and paramount. And I'm not so sure, and I don't have anything to base this on, but I'm not so sure that the Richmond Road, the New York City Road Runners who put on that race, if I'm not mistaken, would have made a decision to cancel it anyway, based on public opinion. So I do feel for the people that made the trip. Crash did go up there to New York City as did John King, two close friends down here. They both went up there, and because it appeared that the race was going to still go on when they made their trip, although Snuggy Bear did think he deferred. Maybe he kind of saw the writing on the wall or just didn't want to be involved in it. I don't know. I'm not criticizing anybody's actions, but he did not make the trip up there, and I think that's he must have gotten a deal on the Freedom Marathon. So, David, I really do appreciate that, and I pass that on, those sentiments, to any listeners that suffered any damage from that storm. It's just unbelievable what's happened up there. Also heard from Dirt Dog over at the Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe podcast. He sent along the same sentiments, and we did not have any issues down in the Ashland, Virginia area, although we were prepared to lose power, but we were very fortunate that we did not. And in the last show, or two shows ago, I had done a shout out to Richard from the Woodlands, Texas, just wanting to know if he was still around, and then sure enough, I heard from him. He said he did the 10 for Texas 10 miler, and he's signed up for the Woodlands Half Marathon, which is in March, and he's a marathoner, but he's just not able to put aside the time over the winter to train for the full. And Richard is another big relay person. He does the Texas Independence Relay every year, and I'm sure that everything that he would echo all my comments from the last podcast in reference to the people that he runs with down there. And if you have a chance, go to that website, the Texas Independence Relay website. They really think they're the best race ever that ever hit the planet, and there's no doubt about how they feel about that. So that's kind of funny. So anyway, Richard, good to hear from you. Appreciate you checking in. And one of these days we're going to definitely meet, because I got friends down there, and I'd like to do the, I guess, the Dallas Marathon or the Austin Marathon someday. Heard from Tim Cleary. He said he really enjoyed the interview with Sandy regarding her experience with the 100-miler. And you can check out that podcast. That's episode 165 at ashlanddave.podbean.com. If you haven't listened to that, that's an interview I did with her over Skype. Excellent insight from her perspective from being a DNF at her first attempt, and then the road to redemption that she led in completing that. And she's got her race report on that experience also at her blog, which I mentioned, which is called the Ultra Freak .blogspot.com. Extremely detailed. It's one of those great things. It'd be a perfect thing to print off and take with you if you gotta just go sit somewhere and read for a little while. It's very detailed and nice and lengthy, where you can sit down and really get into and enjoy the experience along with her and her description of it. Heard from Scott out of Florida. He got the DVD. The DVD, if you're not aware, is a documentary I put together on the Graveyard 100. I did the 100-kilometer race of that. That's a race that was held in March down the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's a point-to-point on Route 12 along the Outer Banks. Incredible experience, which I documented on a DVD. It's, can't remember how long it is. I think it's about a half hour. And if you're interested in that, just send me an email at ashlanddave @gmail.com. I'll give you more information on that. But he said he got it. And he told me that this podcast is in his top five. And he said I did a good job talking about the rash story. So thank you, Scott. Hopefully you'll continue to listen to the show. I appreciate the comments. Heard from Ryan, who was who's always been a listener to the show, former member of Team Incognito, still a member in spirit. He lives up in Canada now. And he did a marathon relay called the Banff, B-A-N-F-F, Ekiden Relay. I guess it's Banff, Ekiden. And he did it with some people from his office that came in 17th. And that was put on by the Calgary Roadrunners Club. I couldn't find the overall results. So Ryan, I don't know how y'all did compared to all the other teams, but it sounds like you had a great time. He said it was a great race overall, well organized. And they had post-race chili and brownies, which I thought was an interesting combination. So, Ryan, thanks for passing that on. And sorry it took me so long to get to that. Your race report from that. It just, you know how life is, man. It's just one of those things. And this is one of the emails that I had mentioned in part one that I wanted to get to. I heard from Scott, who's a, said he was a longtime listener to the show, and we made the connection that we both ran the Colonial 200. He was on a team called Sea Slugs, and he said he was, and I think I might have met him down there. We were going to try to meet up, but our teams finished at just totally different times. He said his team finished before they even had the food out, and you know, we finished when they were, you know, probably wrapping up the food. So didn't cross paths there. He said he was going to do Richmond, but I missed him again at Richmond. He's a lot faster runner, so I'll have to look up his time to see how he did. But Scott, thanks for writing in. Hope you're still listening to the show. And as always, I do appreciate those emailed comments. It kind of lets me know who's listening out there and what's going on. And again, that's how I find out about other things. And really do appreciate people sending in their ideas and experiences they've had at other events. I have one cool announcement to make in reference to the podcast. I have now experienced over 100,000 hits on the episodes, which is awesome. I mean, that's I know it's probably a lot of the same people over and over, but I was just checking the website before I was producing this show, and it's 102,000 hits for the podcast, and I'm hoping that all those hits means that, you know, people listen from the beginning to the end. So anyway, that's pretty cool. I never really thought it would go that far when I started this thing back in 2008, which was really just because I got interested in listening to podcasts about running. I thought, you know what, I can do that. I got something to say. I don't know how many people will listen, but you know, it's turned into a hobby, and as a result, I've met people from all over the world, some in person, and obviously, you know, mostly through email. But it's just been really cool, and you know, I've heard of stuff that goes on all over the world, and people from different continents, and I just can't say enough how cool that is. Sometimes it's hard to reply to all the emails on a regular basis, but I definitely try. And if I miss you, it's nothing personal. So I'll just say that. All right, well, that's it for this part two of the Colonial 200 / Richmond Marathon recap. And hopefully you're doing well with your training, with whatever you're training for. Up next for me is the Willis River 50K in January. The next marathon, that is. I do have plans to do a 10K in December, a local 10K that's picked up over the last couple of years. It's called the Powhatan Christmas Tree 10K. It's a part trail, part, I guess, service road type of run that goes through a Christmas tree farm and then through some woods around this large lake. And it's really a real nice run. And the best thing about it is, being that it's in December, the start and finish, the staging areas are inside a high school cafeteria, so it's nice and warm, and it benefits the Powhatan Christmas Mother program as well as the Powhatan High School cross-country team, and that's in Powhatan County. So we'll try to get a group out going for that. Then the Willis River 50K is up next. That's formerly the Swinging Bridge 50K, and that's a trail race, and it has streams that go up to your knees, and so we'll see how I do with that. I've done that twice before, I think. No, that was my first ultra, my first 50K. So obviously we'll talk about that, and in the meantime, I will come up with another topic for the next show. Thanks for listening. Once again, this is Ashland Dave, middle of the pack, ordinary nobody, wishing you all the best in your future training. And if you want to hit me up on an email, it's ashlanddave@gmail.com, or you can go to the website ashlanddave.podbean.com and comment there. But I get the emails a lot quicker. Sometimes I don't really check my own website to see if there's a comment. I guess I need to set it up where I get an email if I get one. But I'll get back to you one way or the other. And anyway, I'll be out with another show in a couple weeks. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running the Center of the Universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.